Judge number 55. Dominguez going yard. Yankees have won 6 of 7. Up 6 with 6 to go. Magic number whittled down to 1.
How about the NFC East, BT? As you look around, our Giants obviously and Cowboys, you can't wait to get into that game Thursday night. I'll be in the building again just like I was last Thursday for the Jets-Patriots. So looking forward to that game. And now, which is a huge game, but you look at the landscape of the NFC East. Eagles barely winning yesterday in New Orleans. I know the Saints are good. The Eagles couldn't score any points in that game until Saquon, of course, broke a big one. And the Cowboys look like they're broken right now.
The Cowboys are a mess. And if you watched Dak Prescott's press conference and Micah Parsons' press conference, you know, he used the word referendum. I'm not attaching this massive, you know, overstatement of what Daniel Jones has been and might be. I do think yesterday was a referendum on what's going to transpire for the Dallas Cowboys the rest of the way. Because I don't know if you saw this. It was long and it was personal. Both Dak and Parsons were like, hey, listen, you've got to get in the building. We've got to learn to trust each other. You got to jump into film. Like when you challenge the essence of your fellow teammates, the bare bones required to be a professional, like they were basically saying, guys don't know. They don't even know what's going on. Like, they don't know what gap to fill. They don't know what route to run. So Dallas either comes out, you know, ready to roll and uber-focused on Thursday, or it's the complete opposite, and that could that's big problems for them. And Philly, you know, took them basically 3 hours to score a point. And we get to see the Commanders tonight against the Bengals team. That's a little mystifying as well. So I don't, this is not to elevate the Giants. They got to start proving that they can beat Dallas. They can beat Philly. They always lose to these teams. Commanders, they lost last week. But I thought the division would be a lot better, and right now it seems a little more vulnerable than I thought.
Yeah, we're not going to come on here after one win and all of a sudden be like, hey, the Giants can be division champs. What I will say is they've got an opportunity in front of them. Thursday is a huge opportunity. Like, whether we think, and we could get it, well, we'll get into the game, obviously, as the week goes on, but with the Cowboys being as bad as they have, and I do think the Cowboys are broken, and we're going to find out. And you're coming in here. Giants could be a better coach team as well, especially with all the changes Dallas made on their staff. Not as talented, but who knows, BT? Giants have an opportunity in front of themselves on Thursday. Again, not to be a division-winning team.
Yeah.
And look, anything could happen. Nobody thought the Mets would be as good as they are. I mean, you look at the roster, all the injuries that they've overcome, the fact they're going to win 90-plus games is crazy. So you never know in sports. And a couple years ago, nobody thought the Giants were going to go to the postseason and win a game. So anything's possible. But the Cowboys can be had right now, as it does seem like they're broken and the Giants have an opportunity. Tom is in Howell, New Jersey. What's up, Tom?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's up?
I just had one point about Daniel Jones and then a point about the defense. You were saying, I think you're spot on, the inaccuracy of Jones. But I think the key part of that, it's always in critical situations. All three, I have three that come to mind off the top of my head. The neighbor's deep ball, obviously, which probably would have sealed the game, 28-7. The play in the back of the end zone to Johnson, when he's wide open. You don't always get another chance, you know, to make that play. Neighbors bailed him out.
Yep, that's true.
And the third down to Wandale Robinson also. I think it was a 3rd and 7.
And by the way,
a little out in front of him.
Good call, Tom. Even some of the catches were still overthrown. But if not for Malik Nabers' incredible ability to reel them in, I mean, Jones just overthrew. He's not an accurate passer.
Right. I agree 1,000%. And it's magnified by the timing. My point about the defense is what's going on with Kayvon Thibodeau? I mean, he's been doing nothing. 3 games, 8 sacks. I don't think he had one. What's he up to?
I think he was in on one of them, or half of them, one of them yesterday. He's quiet. And what's going on? He's quiet. That's what's going on. He's quiet. He has been, now really, even until yesterday, Burns was quiet, although he was more in the backfield, maybe not coming up with those tangible stats to validate some of his play the first couple of games. But I'm talking about Burns. You know, Kayvon Thibodeau is good at one thing, sporadically good. When he's good, he's good, but he just disappears too much.
Yeah,
for long stretches.
And even, now remember, he's held to a higher standard because of where he was drafted, and you're supposed to be an elite pass rusher.
That's right.
All I could say is, you know, watching football your whole life, and I'm not a ball dinger, but I've watched football my whole life. You could see when you're watching what an elite pass rusher looks like. What is Kayvon Thibodeau's greatest strength? Like, at least when I watch Burns play, and maybe the numbers aren't there, you could see the ferocity and passion he plays with. This is not trying to knock Kayvon. I'm asking you generally the question because I don't see the speed. Now, maybe it's there. I'm not seeing elite speed. I'm not seeing a great physical force.
I don't see a lot of moves. I don't see, you know, I don't see a lot of diversity in how he tries to get to the quarter. And again, I'm not bolding either, but right. I just kind of see like the repeated same attempt to get to the quarterback. You got to have multiple moves. It's like a point guard with the ball. You got to be able to cross somebody up more than one way. I feel like he's kind of fairly predictable. Not incredibly stout against the run. He disappears. At some point,
you got to have your impact felt on the game.
Yes. And that is something that you and I have been on for a while. And, you know, I would like to see him fully justify the top 10 status that he has as a draft pick. Now, what has he been so far? He's been intriguing enough where he's certainly, I mean, no one's saying he's a bust here. He's not an A. He's not a D or an F. I don't even think he's a C. I think so far, for me, Kayvon Thibodeau's been a B-minus giant.
That's fair. I'll probably go C plus, maybe.
Yeah, same neighborhood.
He had the numbers last year.
Same neighborhood.
Right, but for that type pick.
Yeah.
We got to be in the A's here. That's the problem with Kayvon. It's not to pick on him, but you haven't had his impact felt in the first few
games. And Sal, it's not like there's nobody else that's assuming the attention of the opponent. I mean, Dexter Lawrence. Everybody, even though Burns had no sacks coming in, he has been a terrific player for you know 4 or 5 years in the NFL. Everybody knows he's an outstanding player. So is it really that different if you're a hitter and you got a couple of sticks around you? Don't you think it's more advantageous? You're going to get some better pitches to hit?
I would think.
Kayvon Thibodeau, it's not like they're double-teaming him. Come on.
Right. No, I would think. And maybe at some point we'll start to feel it. We haven't through 3 weeks. John is in Valley Stream. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, good to talk to you again, boys. How we doing?
Good.
Pretty good, John.
BT, turn to Timmy Trumpet song because I feel like I got to drop a 6-out DS save on Sal here with the Jones and the Dable. Listen, Jones, he's a mid-level quarterback, Sal, and you're running your playbook to perfection on him. You're going to drop the Licata Kevorkyan on him and hate on him till you can't anymore. Then you're going to grudgingly give him some props, and then around week 10, this is what we're going to get. 2022, Jones is back, baby! I'm all in!
No, I appreciate the entertainment value in the call, John, and thank you for the call. It's just not accurate. This is not me hating on Jones. This is me being realistic of understanding what Jones is. I never once said Jones cannot win games in this league. You know why I never said that? Because we saw it happen a couple of years ago. It happened. He did it. Matter of fact, I was higher on the Giants knowing their quarterback situation this year than most. I bet they're over. I've been picking them every week for the first 3 weeks. So, and I know who the quarterback is. It wasn't, I think the Giants are going to turn it on because they're going to bench Jones and go to Drew Lock or Tommy DeVito. I'm not the one calling for Tommy DeVito. All I said coming into the year was, I know what Jones is, and I know that they need more, and I want more, and I want that to be the same damn storyline. Doesn't mean they can't win games. I just think to get to the next level, they need a new quarterback. The offensive line is much better. Thomas did a great job yesterday against Myles Garrett. The O-line in general.
He did.
Illuminor's been a good addition. Like, they've been very good as an offensive line. Jones, to me, they brought in as good a weapon as you could have in Neighbors through 3 weeks. Jones is still the same. He's inaccurate. He makes dumb decisions. But you can still win some games with him.
Listen, here's where I'm at with the Giants, all right, and the duo. I'm going to put Shane aside for a moment. The duo of Dable and Jones, the analysis, right? I'm still trying to determine, and I hope the answer is yes. I know the answer is no to one. I hope the answer is yes to the first part. I'm trying to determine myself if Brian Dable truly is going to be the head coach of the Giants for 10, 12, 13 years.
Okay.
Like, I think he's got that in him. My only fear for Brian Dable has been, does he get in his own way? You know, I don't have to talk about slamming headsets. I don't care. Emotional. You're emotional. Yep. It's all good. But, like, you've got to reel it in a little bit. We talked about, I'll use the word dysfunction. Some people don't agree, but I'm going to stand by that. There was a little too much dysfunction in the franchise a year ago. Clean that up. I think if he does, I think Brian Dable can be the best coach since Coughlin. And, you know, and that's it. I think he could be the guy. So, That's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm not sitting here saying, oh, man, I think that Daniel Jones could he be? No, I know he's not the future of the Giants. I already know that. I think most of us know that. I think he's more functional than you. I think his ceiling's a tick higher than you. But let's not get it twisted. He's going to be gone soon. That's it. So while he's here, try to win some games. Let the defense pin its ears back. Get Neighbors involved. Let him entertain you. You know, call some runs for Daniel Jones. God forbid, I don't mean to sound callous. I'm not trying to sound like a jerk. If he gets hurt, he gets hurt. Whatever. I mean, he's not going to be here. If he's not like Mahomes, where you want to protect him. And you play football. And as you play football, you see the division, as we just chronicled, maybe not as good as we thought.
Yeah.
You know, 2022, wacky things happen. Just enjoy the ride. It was a good win.
Both things can be true. See, I've never come on and said they should lose on purpose and get a top quarterback. I was very clear that I would have traded for a quarterback and did whatever I could last year just because I'm done with Daniel Jones. We know what Jones is, but I still believe the Giants can win some games and should be trying to win some games with him as their quarterback, but then knowing that they could find the next guy eventually that could take them to a higher level. So it's not an anti-Daniel Jones thing. It's just that he's not that good.